All right, this is I Hate the Fins. I believe this is our 15th show with the Finsider Radio podcast network. I always goof that up. We're with them though. In addition to the Finsider Radio show, they have us, of course. They also feature shows like The Blowhole. Those come out on specific days of the week throughout the week. Be sure to check all of them out. Of course, you're checking on us out. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Keith. I've got my co-host with me, Zach. We'll bring him on in a second. We're in addition to keeping these shows a little bit shorter, I have great news for everyone. We're gonna try to do what is it? 13 picks for our mock draft tonight. We're gonna do a mock draft. We loathe mock drafts here. We hate them so much. We hate them so much. We're gonna do one. So it's so emo. I'm looking forward to that. We can go ahead and just kind of take a peek at how if we were making the picks, and thank God we're not, I guess. Unless if it's the Dolphins pick, then I fully endorse what we do as a possibility for them. We'll take a look at how the board shakes out. We'll make fun of a bunch of stuff. We'll come off like complete jags in the process, but I'm looking forward to it just because it is February. The combine will be here soon, so I feel like it's the Super Bowl's over. An unfortunate result, but one I think most of us expected. And I'll just kind of turn it around to topic time first, Zach. Silver lining is with the Patriots winning, the guy who was at least part of the show orchestrating that defense is now the Dolphins head coach officially. It's Brian Flores, which I mean, we waited for that for pretty much a month now. I mean, you think about we were talking about could be Chris Richard, could be Darren Risenator, could be all these guys. And then early on in the playoffs became clear that Chris Greer and company, their guy, the one they wanted, the one they felt was going to be the guy to take this team out of the trenches of mediocrity and put them where they used to be, which is a winning franchise perennially. They believe is Brian Flores. So here he is, officially named. We got word that Patrick Graham is going to be the defensive coordinator. I believe Chad O'Shea is going to be the offensive coordinator. You got Jim Caldwell in a consulting role, pretty much. You got all these names in there. But just watching that game, I guess that all of that is to say, just watching that game last Sunday, how encouraged are you knowing that the guy who helped orchestrate that defensive effort, which let's be honest, if it weren't the Patriots doing that in the Super Bowl, I think people would be talking about it a lot more. I think the Patriots, the negative perception they have, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, we help perpetuate that on the show. Excuse me, not perpetuate, that's not what I meant, but on the show. So we are a part of that, but I think that if it had been a non-Patriots team holding the Rams on essentially, synthetic turf indoors to 3 points is pretty unbelievable. So how do you feel about at least part of that show coming to coach the Miami Dolphins now?
I think it's definitely encouraging. For the last hurrah for Flores there in New England, that's definitely what you want to see. There's been a lot of stats that come out after that. But at the same time, I'm not going to say that he's going to instantly come in here and change lives and make the defense, a top 15, even top 10 defense. A good chunk of the Super Bowl stoppage of the Rams was also Sean McVay, like, did not change his game plan at all. They came out at halftime and kind of just did the same old thing. I was more impressed with Wade Phillips's defense, shutting down the Pats. But I mean, it was a great defensive Super Bowl between Flores and Wade Phillips. I don't think you could ask for any more if you're looking at defensive teams. So it's definitely encouraging, but I'm not going to say he's going to be a defensive savior straight out the gate or anything.
No, I mean, it is encouraging though, I think, because I'd like to think that he had a good hand in that effort. And there was a lot of stuff that didn't make sense to me that may never come out. I mean, the Malcolm Butler still thing still hasn't come out from the previous Super Bowl. So who knows about some of the stuff? But I mean, Todd Gurley is obviously not right. Otherwise, I mean, we talked about on this podcast last week that when healthy, LA's offense runs through that guy. I mean, he sets up everything. I mean, he creates opportunities for them on play action. You know, in addition to be a great runner, that zone running game that they have going on there. So there's something not right with him. And they showed, I don't know how I saw this clip, but they showed the players walking off the field after the game, and Todd Gurley didn't look right. I mean, there's something strange, and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know. But I mean, so you'll have that. The fact that I thought Wade Phillips did do a good job, outside of the fact that you knew they were going to go to Julian Edelman. And Julian Edelman just absolutely killed them off the line of scrimmage. And you saw, even when they're like, Marcus Peters couldn't get a good jam on him to save his life. I mean, the clips they showed where you had action going on at the line of scrimmage, I saw one where he just flat out whiffed, just trying to get Edelman's chest before he was able to separate. And it was for a big gain, I think. So I don't know. There were certain things in there that I thought early on Wade Phillips did a pretty decent job of getting to Tom Brady, but it always seems the Pats make adjustments in the second half, and they did. And after that, it just seemed like things really slowed down for them, and things got even more difficult for LA. And I mean, let's just be honest. Jared Goff looked very confused all day, said as much. New England threw a bunch of movement before the snap, confusing him, really switching up their coverages and everything. So unfortunately, if you're not a Patriots hater and you watch and you were going into that game, a lot of the stuff that you expected to happen did happen, which is unfortunate when you're pulling against the New England Patriots. But as such is life, they went to Disney World, 6 championships now, all that, like, we don't really have to get too much into that, but I am excited to see what Brian Flores can do. I like him. I like the guys that he's bringing on the coaching staff. I think it's going to be a strong crew right off the bat. I don't know what they're going to do in their first year, because I mean, you've heard all the tank talk and all that stuff. I guess we'll have a good or a better feel for what's going to happen when we see what they try to do in the draft. But you know, for starters, I like it. So, I mean, it's weird though, because outside of that, I mean, you go, what else can you really talk about now? You go right to the draft. So, we're trying to keep this show shorter. They're easier to mix. We can throw them out there to you guys so you can go ahead and digest them. And they're not so much a take. I mean, I remember when I was doing Finsider Radio and we did shows that were 90 minutes.
Yeah. Which at the time, I remember the hour and a half shows. Like, while they're great, if you're like on a car trip, like sometimes for work, I take, you know, 2-hour car trips each way. Those are fantastic. But like, if you don't have that kind of time, or you're not just squatting down somewhere, they're tough.
Yeah. I think part of the reason we went to those at the time is we had so many guests and we took a lot of time for callers and everything. So, I mean, like, it did serve a purpose. It wasn't like we were just sitting there just trying to take up that much time. I mean, if anything, I was trying to, kind of similar to the situation we have here, I was trying to end them shorter. And then I would look up and be like, oh, crap, we're already at the 75, 80 minute mark. So it's a lot easier to mix. It's a lot easier to get it out there when the show is a little bit shorter. So anyway, do you want to, we loathe mock drafts. You want to do our first mock draft of the year? You want to do a co-mock draft?
Yeah, I mean, this one shouldn't be too bad. We'll definitely go to 13. I game planned up to 16 if we wanted to half mock it. But whatever we end up getting to is fine. You want to take odds? I'll do evens.
No, because I want to see who you're going to take the Dolphins pick. So you're not getting out of that one. I'm going to give you the odds.
All right, then.
I see what
the next
doing.
Time we'll flip flop, no, and I'll put you through the pain of that.
That's fine. That's okay.
All right. Let's see.
So, we can flip next time. I'm just trying to find a list of prospects so I
see if some of their work
don't have
off
to sit there and just try to. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah.
I don't know where my big board's not coming up right now, but so never mind. Yes, I do. I have my big board. We're
there
good.
There you go. So while you're kind of pulling that all together, obviously it starts off at the top with Arizona. Arizona is in an interesting spot. It seems like they have their quarterback that they need. They are kind of in that. I think the Dolphins will be in a similar spot minus the quarterback come draft time, potentially, depending on how they work free agency. Mm-hmm. If they really are shooting for 2020, Dolphins could clear house and they could draft anything at 13. But, you know, Arizona's got the pick of the litter here. And the top three guys on my board are defensive linemen, or I guess you could say Josh Allen might be a linebacker. Mm-hmm. Most people have gone default Nick Bosa here. But honestly, if I'm the Cardinals, I'm taking the first pick here. I'm taking Quinnen Williams.
Wow.
And so it's I think Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa is easily a 1A, 1B situation. But at the end of the day, I think Quinnen Williams for the defense that they've been running, and they'll probably look to keep running going into this year, I think he'll be more disruptive in a way that we saw the Rams ride all the way to a Super Bowl. You know, they already have Chandler Jones, which provides a good presence on the edge. But I mean, with Quinnen Williams commanding double teams, hopefully that allows Robert Condici to just be a three, like one gap, three tech, shoot up in there, you know, essentially the Sue to his Aaron Donald.
Right.
So that's my logic there for going Quinnen Williams.
You can make a very strong case that he's the best player in the draft. So it makes sense he's going number one. So that means, well, I mean, that just makes the number two pick really easy then. And I mean, it's got to be, I mean, if you're San Francisco and you're sitting there, it's got to be Nick Bosa. So that's the easy.
But does it? Does he fit what they're trying to do there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think about their, if anything, it enables some of the, because they've got some square pegs and round holes right now with what they're trying to do, because you've got some really impressive young guys. You've got DeForest Buckner, who's done Solomon Thomas, I think. They like him inside. I mean, there's also something where if you're trying to go ahead and work that 4-3 under and you're trying to work some size into that, then if you're actually going to pull out a surprise 5 tech, then Solomon Thomas will get that for you. So I think that John Lynch finds a way to make this work. I don't see him saying no to Nick Bosa, and I am considering a guy like John Lynch in there too. I think that this is absolutely the dude he'll take.
Okay, fair enough. I can live with that. And then honestly, this makes the pick for the Jets super easy for me, to be honest.
So because I'm just the way you asked that question, you think it's Josh Allen at that spot?
I think there's a strong possibility there.
Okay. I do too.
Depending on, because I think it depends on how people perceive Josh Allen. Josh Allen played a pretty typical 4-3 kind of rush edge at Kentucky, but that's in college versus college guys.
Right.
But honestly, I think Josh Allen is what everybody wanted out of Anthony Barr. Anthony Barr was a little bit more of a 34-looking kind of guy than a 43-looking kind of guy. But I think Josh Allen is everything you wanted from him, and I think you'll actually get it.
He's so tall, that's the only thing that I think about. I don't think a lot of people really.
I mean, he's
going to come in around 6'5".
I think he's going to be like 6'4 and 6/8 inches. You know, I don't think he'll come in at that true 6'5".
No, he'll be just under.
But he'll come in the taller side.
Because I think,
he'll come in the taller side of 6'4".
Because I think Barr is just over 6'4", right? And Barr started as a running back.
Yep.
At UCLA.
Yep. So. He was recruited to UCLA as a running back.
Yeah.
But that's why he runs like a freaking horse. Yeah. But since 49ers don't go Josh Allen in this scenario, the Jets have to go Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Like we've talked about before, their best pass rusher in the past decade was probably Calvin Pace, which is absurd. You know, this is a guy where I'm not 100% sure what system base system technically the Jets are going to run. Thinking Greg Williams and what Gase did in Miami, it's probably going to be a quote-unquote base 43. But like we've talked about before too, your 4-2-5s are more standard than anything. You know, it's just hard to convert from, you know, a decade and change probably of a pretty strict 34. Maybe not a decade and change, but they were pretty heavy 34, especially coming out of the Rex Ryan era. You know, he played real heavy 34. But Josh Allen, I think, can play anything as long as you set him up with the pieces to be successful around him. And I think the Jets may actually have that besides for better corners.
Okay. So I'm pretty sure it's Oakland at four. And this comes down to, in my opinion, two very simple premises for this team. Either they follow through on improving the pass rush that they lost when they traded Khalil Mack last September, or they kind of go sleeper team here and they draft a quarterback, because I don't know how tied they are to Derek Carr. And I mean, what's the old adage with John Gruden? He never met a franchise quarterback he didn't like, as long as the guy isn't currently on his roster. So, yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, if you follow his history in Oakland and Tampa and so forth. So I'm going to play it safe here, though. And I think that they take a dude who's probably going to end up being one of the more, certainly the most explosive pass rusher available. I think it's me, Clelin Ferrell here. So
gotcha.
I think that, yeah. I don't know. I'd love to just say that, you know, there's a surprise and they're going to take a quarterback. And I mean, honestly, I don't trust Oakland. I don't trust John Gruden. I don't trust their owner with this pumpkin pie haircut or any of that. Anything can go south with these guys in a hurry. But for now, we'll play it safe. And I think that they just take the best pass rusher available.
I think there's an even safer pick there. Maybe there not as sexy.
I know who
it is. Are we on the same? We're probably on the same page here.
I think so, yeah.
Say it, because once you say it, I know we're on the same page.
I think that, well, actually, there's two players that I really like at that spot, depending on what they're going to do.
You know who I'm thinking of.
Do I?
You do. We've talked about him a lot. We like his game a lot, and he plays defense.
You think Ed Oliver goes there?
No, not Ed Oliver.
That's the only other guy that I'm thinking that.
Who's the other guy outside of Zach Allen that we've talked about that I really, really love on defense in this draft?
Devin White?
Not the sexiest position. Yeah, Devin White.
Oh, man. Yeah. I guess that I wasn't even thinking about Devin White in the top five. I just figured because we're such Ed Oliver fans that I was like, well, yeah, dude. But I just don't think Ed Oliver is sexy enough for John Gruden at that spot. But then again, Devin White is just the modern linebacker. And I've already kind of looked at the board. I have a pretty good idea where he's going to fall here. But yeah, he is that. He would look good as a Raiders linebacker, but that would also be sickening to watch him play for them.
Like, but couldn't you imagine them taking him at four, like having strong conviction of like, this is the guy, we love his game, he's a good leader. Like, he is going to be the cornerstone guy that people look at on our defense at this point. It's not sexy, and there'll be some people that are like, what, they took a linebacker at four? But then a lot of draft people, the moment that pick is made, will be like, well, that's a good pick because that's nice and safe, blah, 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 blah. Like, can't you just feel that happening?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's such cliche draft, just BS.
I'm surprised that you didn't go Ed Oliver there too, because I think Ed Oliver fills a big need for them, and then he does multiple things along the line of scrimmage for them. So
I'm just not confident they're smart enough to do what they need to do with him. And they already have Maurice Hurst, which does some similar things to Ed Oliver. I think if they're going to get a defensive tackle, they may roll the dice of the back end with one of their other two first round picks on a Dexter Lawrence.
That's another thing, too.
Just get so much more beef.
I hope they don't get Dexter
just
Lawrence.
Wait, but like imagine them drafting Devin White at four and then getting Dexter Lawrence somewhere in the back end of the first round. Like, so up the middle for them would be Dexter Lawrence, Maurice Hurst, and Devin White. Like, you can't ask for much better than that.
But I would also flip it around and say, if they're counting on those late first round picks to go ahead and fill those kind of needs, then what keeps them from just shocking everyone and taking a quarterback here?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's totally fair.
I don't trust these guys.
I mean, no, I you can't trust Raiders at all. well, let's stop talking about the Raiders. So
sure.
Tampa Bay, I have three dudes on my options here that I've kind of pre-prepped. Two of them feel really high. One of them really hinges on free agency, but I am going to go with the one that hinges on free agency, and I'm going to say they take Christian Wilkins from Clemson.
Is the McCoy replacement?
That's the rumor out there is that McCoy is going to be on his way out. And I think Christian Wilkins comes in and gives you the same thing that McCoy used to give you when he was younger. But like, I think he gives it to you with more athleticism. So I think it's an easy swap in, swap out. Vita Vea and Christian Wilkins would be a really nice duo in the center there for Tampa Bay. Build strong up the center.
My sleeper at this spot is Rashawn Gary, by the way. I was kind of hoping that.
Yeah, I think come draft night, people are either going to be real high on Gary or like he's going to slide way further out than the media people have him. And all the like non-college football people will be like, well, why is that happening? But if you go back and watch the Rashawn Gary tape from this year, like remember the conversation with Jadeveon Clowney where like, you know, his last year wasn't that good. Did he not put in that much effort? Like, that's the same thing that happened with Gary this year, but it was uglier because he's not as sexy of a built pass rusher.
Yeah, and I mean, the argument right now is that dude someone you could kick inside in a 4-3, or is he someone who can play a legitimate edge? So, I mean, you're going to have people arguing about that, I mean, you know, until they're blue in the face for the next, what, 2.5 months? So.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to get drafted by a defensive coordinator more than he will get drafted by, you know, a person from the personnel department. Because at the end of the day, the person that's going to say, you know, bang the table for Rashawn Gary is a defensive coordinator that says, I can get these things out of him that we need to get out of him, and he'll blossom and he'll, you know, skyrocket. We'll see. He's going to be a draft day guy that I don't think anybody's going to be able to nail down until the pick actually comes
in.
I
mean, obviously he's not even the pick here, so we're just kind of talking hypotheticals, even though it's a mock draft, so it's all hypothetical. But you think he's the kind of player that Todd Bowles would advocate for?
Maybe. I think Todd may feel a little burned by the perpetual inside out kind of Leonard Williams, Muhammad Wilkerson, Sheldon, Richardson. Whatever his name is, guys from the Jets. Yeah, Richardson. Those Jets guys, like the Jets perpetually drafted five tech kind of interior linemen, and they all looked great out the gate, and just the star just burnt out real quick.
All right. All right. So I've got the sixth pick. So you took. Okay, so I've got Will.
So far we have Quinnen Williams at one, Nick Bosa at two, Josh Allen at three, Oakland went Clelin Ferrell, and Tampa Bay went Christian Wilkins at five.
So New York, number six, and I do think they take the quarterback this year. It's kind of a cliched thing to say. I do think they take Dwayne Haskins. Real shocker, I know, but that's what I see. I don't think outside. I will say that you're the only one who's really gone against the grain, off script, whatever stupid cliche you want to use right now with the Wilkins pick. But I like that one. I think that's a strong move. So,
the one guy that I've been looking at there for the Giants, if they may throw in the towel for 2022. There's a lot of teams where we talk about that for the Dolphins, but there may be a lot of teams that just say, like, let's just make it through one more year because we're iffy on the top guy here, top two guys maybe between Haskins and Kyler Murray. But, like, next year, as long as we're in the top 10, we'll have our choice of Tua, Herbert, Fromm, and maybe even Eason if he does a one and done at Washington. You know, there's a chance that Ellinger comes out, and if he has another year where he takes more steps, he could be a first-round guy. The real sleeper guy in 2020 is Love from Utah State. He had a great year this year. So, like, next year, it looks so much of a better prospect pool. So I think there's a chance that if Ed Oliver kind of puts together the process the way the process should happen leading up to the draft, keep an eye on the Giants making that pick, because they need all sorts of defensive line help, and he could, you know, make a difference up and down there.
Jacksonville.
So my options were set up for Dwayne Haskins or just like straight up BPA here. So for the Jags, without doing a whole bunch of searching for what they need, I am going to say, They don't need defensive line help. They're kind of, it's weird. The Jags roster is a good looking roster.
They have all of the defensive tackles right now. It's literally all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's insane, which is crazy. Let's have this quick conversation.
Okay.
Do you think that the Jags truly move Jalen Ramsey?
It's got to be up for consideration. I think that that's totally something that Tom Coughlin thinks of, especially if you're getting a huge return off it. But it does have to be sizable because, I mean, all the baggage aside, the guy's still a top three cornerback in the league, top four when he's playing well. The only thing is he didn't look very good this year outside of a couple of games.
Let's go way off the path here. Yeah. Do you think there could be a real crazy scenario where there is some sort of Jalen Ramsey and one of their betterish young receivers swapped for AB and Artie Burns?
Oh, man. Which receiver are they moving? Chark?
I mean, they have a couple good young guys. You know, jury's not wholly out, but at the same time, you don't know if you're getting a quality piece. Where Artie Burns obviously needs a new set of scenery behind him.
But he was always a raw guy, even coming out of Miami, you know? And I mean, like, he showed some glimpses that first year, but for the most part, just it seems to be a sputtering effort where he does some good things, but he's also a guy that offenses, when they know what they're doing, are going to target. So.
But at the same time, Pittsburgh is where defensive backs get drafted and go to die. Mm-hmm. So. Yes. So, but we don't have to hit that. But so I need to make a pick here. My pick here, it's not a sexy pick, but it'll give them some stability going into next year's draft as well, or later in this draft. I'm going to say they take Jonah Williams.
Okay. All right. Huh. Well, I mean, if you think about it, because Cam Robinson got hurt, and then we don't know where Jonah Williams, if he's going to play right tackle. The book on him right now is people think his arm's going to be too short to hold it down at left tackle in the NFL. You know, does he go inside? They have a lot of money allocated to the interior offensive line for that team. So that's interesting, but at the same time, also, in my opinion, a Tom Coughlin pick. So.
Yep.
I like
that
it
too.
I think that's good. That's, I mean, it's not too out of the way. I think that guy should be a strong consideration for them at that spot, provided the quarterback they do not want or the quarterback they want isn't on the board, which may happen, may not happen. And then, as you mentioned,
yeah, and I mean, like, I don't understand. Like, I don't love Jonah Williams. Do I think he's the top offensive tackle in most drafts? Probably not. But I like him just a hair behind, what's his name from, Notre Dame last year?
Yeah.
McGlinch beast.
Who had a really good year.
I liked him a lot. Yeah. And he had a great year at right tackle. And at some point he will take over left tackle duties in San Francisco, probably like 40 years from now, but, eventually he will probably take over that spot. And I would take Jonah Williams just behind him in last year's draft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I got Detroit, don't I? Mm-hmm. Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's an interesting one.
They need help at pass rusher because their best guy is also Ezekiel Anza. We don't know what's going to happen with him. He's hurt. I always make the joke that they always take the second best Alabama interior defensive lineman every year. Like they always end up with like A'shaun Robinson and Deshaun Hand. So
you're going to take Isaiah Bugs here? Not, is that what you're going to do?
I think they need to find like the ideal complement opposite Darius Slay. So I'm going to take Greedy here.
Okay. I had him as my like third option here. That's okay. That's not a bad pick at all.
Also interested to, I mean, you can go ahead and tell me who your guys are here. Do you think this is an Oliver spot?
Well, I think that's an ideal spot for Clelin Ferrell, to be honest. If he doesn't go in a spot 100%. Like you picked him at, I think that's like prime.
If
Clelin
Ferrell's on the board when he gets to this spot, it takes about two seconds for that card to get handed in my opinion. I imagine that he's got to be Detroit's number one or number two guy on the board.
Yeah. So my question for you there, picking Greedy, I think it's going to be, you know, kind of dealer's choice when it comes to the top three corners. I think the top three corners for most people are Greedy, Baker from Georgia, and Byron Murphy from Washington. I think it's what skill set are you looking for? And what for Greedy Williams made you take him over the other people?
The length is going to appeal to Detroit. I think Darius Slay rolls at about, 6 foot?
Gotcha. Yeah, if not 6'1".
Yeah, 6 foot, 6'1". Greedy, I don't think Greedy's going to come in at 6'3", but I do think he's going to have a SEC corners coming in way below their listed height. That's never happened. Remember Drake Kirkpatrick?
Yeah, he was like 6'8".
Like, he was like 6'3", and then I don't think he even came in at 6'1" at the combine. And the weird thing is, or I think he's right at 6'1", which, I mean, I'm not knocking that height because, I mean, that's, you know, not that much shorter than I am, but they talked about how long his arms were and the kind of length that he was going to bring for teams that were interested in getting a guy who can press at the next level. And then his arms are shorter than mine.
Yeah.
And I do not boast in a formidable wingspan here. So, I mean, there's just all kinds of fraud going on with that one. I do think, all things considered, DeAndre Baker would be an option for them too, and honestly Byron Murphy, but I think that those are guys you can get if you trade down a little bit, like a couple of picks, and depending on, they're in an ideal spot there, because if you want to jump Denver for a quarterback, this could be a spot
sure, that's definitely a great spot to do it. And Buffalo's sitting in a good spot for that too if they want to accumulate some more picks,
right? Yeah, so I mean, this is where you can become a bit of an opportunist in terms of seeing who wants to go after that quarterback. But for right now, I think that I give Greedy the slight edge, but I do think that Byron Murphy and DeAndre Baker are both guys who could totally kick ass opposite Darius Slay in this defense. And Darius Slay, underrated, has been a really, really good player for them. So I think that if you mentioned Clelin Ferrell is absolutely the pick here. If he's available, that is a slam dunk in my opinion. And he could very well get here because we don't, Elda Oliver is still on the board.
Yeah.
You know, it could very well
not
be
for
that
long,
he's
though.
The guy who goes. Oh, I see what you did there. That's called foreshadowing. So let's get to it.
So since I tipped my pick here, you know, going back to the early 2000 teens of draftage with Twitter, the Bills here, I had on my board, my top three guys for the Bills here were Christian Wilkins, Jonah Williams, because they need a ton of offensive line help. I had Rashawn Gary, but I didn't really expect Ed Oliver to make it here with how much we like him. At that point, you know, they have Starla Tulele and they have Harrison Phillips that they just drafted. Both really good interior guys, but more run stuffers. Harrison Phillips may get you some pocket push, but not as much as you'd like. So Ed Oliver's a guy that I think, again, you can play him all over. Depends on what his comfort weight is at. If he's closer to mid to upper 280s, play him as a one gap three tech all you want. But at the end of the day, I think that's also a coaching staff that if they can figure out a guy, it would hopefully be them.
Yeah. Interesting. So that's your pick?
Yep.
Good stuff. We just mentioned Denver. Here is Denver. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I do believe that John Elway probably sees a lot of himself in Drew Lock. And I think that John Elway is egotistical enough to try to make this happen and think like, well, he looks like me. He throws a little bit like me. So obviously he's going to play like me. So here we go. Drew Lock is a Denver Bronco.
Another place that I think they could go if that's all BS, is I think they could go after a corner here too. Especially if for some reason Greedy doesn't go top 10, and they have that 10th pick there and they have kind of pick of the litter, because they're scheduled to lose Roby. And then the only other corner they technically have, the only corner they have left then is Harris, which is great. But like, let's be honest, Harris is an all pro nickel. He can get it done on the outside. But you need somebody else out there. So if they don't go Drew Lock, I think they may go corner there, especially if they have pick of all three.
Can you imagine if Denver skips the quarterback position again this year?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a thing.
People are probably going to say the same thing about Miami, though. You know, the Dolphins skipped a quarterback last year, and then if they skip again, like, you know, people will have the same conversation there.
I think the only reason you're not hearing it more is because Bradley Chubb was just so stupid good for them last year that, I mean, that gets them off the hook. So, I don't know. But for now, I think that is the pick. But the important thing is, lucky you get to pick for Cincinnati.
Yeah, I just ran this card to the podium all the way in Nashville from Baltimore here. Like, Kevin White is the pick. All day,
he's a pick.
Every day here. I think that's probably, you know, that one year where it was Mark Ingram to the Dolphins from day one till the night prior to the draft. You're probably going to see Devin White locked in at 11 as the worst case scenario.
Yeah, I can see it happening. So, all right, so much fun. Ooh, okay. I got Green Bay at 12. So the one thing I've seen in terms of the popular pick here is Ja'Kai Polite.
Ooh.
And I could certainly see that, but I think that if they go with the pass rusher here, I think they go Montez Sweat.
Yeah, you think they go Sweat?
Yeah.
I can get on board with that. I can respect that.
I think so. I think they're gonna like the length that he brings. I mean, because I like Ja'Kai Polite a lot. He was one of my favorite players in college football last year. I think he comes in heavier than Sweat right now, but I think that I think he's only listed 6'2". So I think if you're looking for a little bit more length from your pass rusher, I think they're gonna be interested in what a guy like Montez Sweat can do for them in that it's like a base 3-4 now. But I mean, they do a lot of running off two down linemen and all that good stuff. So, but they need something there because Clay Matthews really isn't the guy anymore. And I mean, Nick Perry was always the complimentary guy. And they've got strong players in that defense in the front seven now, because I mean, Kenny Clark's been outstanding. You know, we were highly complimentary of some of the other guys that they've got in there at this point. But, you know, Martinez especially, like Blake Martinez is probably one of my favorite players in the league right now. I love that guy. So, and I hate the Packers. So
before we hit the Dolphins pick here, I will tell you that Ja'Kai Polite is the one dude that we are not going to agree on this year.
I know that.
Yeah. You know, he reminds me of Charles Harris. And my Charles Harris fandom is well documented, I'd like to think. But I will tell you, there's a different end that I even have above Sweat at this point. Do you know who it is?
How much of how much are you bringing him up on your board?
I think him and Sweat are pretty closely linked because of very slight differences. But he also plays in Florida at a school that you're probably not a big fan of.
Oh, Brian Burns.
Yeah, I really like Brian Burns. I went back and I hit his tape. I think the only thing that's really going to scare people is that he's listed at, 235 or something like that. But honestly, if he comes into the combine at like 242 or like low 240s, I think he's like a poor man's Josh Allen. I think he can give you all the same stuff. And to be 100% honest, I think his pass rush skills and the tools that he has with his hands especially are better than Josh Allen's. I think Josh Allen's the crazier athlete, though.
Yeah, I would say that Brian Burns' first step is about as good as it gets. So, yeah.
But Brian Burns also has like a crazy repertoire of counters. Like, his spin move is ridiculous. And like the crazy thing is he doesn't just like, I'm going to hit the spin. It's like he has a really nice setup outside step that he gets you leaning in the wrong direction. And then he hits you with that like open arm spin move that just leaves you falling flat on your face. So with that said,
I'm gonna do a spin move.
Brian Burns is definitely in consideration here for the Dolphins.
Really? So you're just, we're going down to the Dolphins because I was going to say that I've seen a couple of mocks where they did have Brian Burns going to Green Bay.
Yeah. And if I was Green Bay, I think I would go Burns over Sweat because I think he has better stand up kind of rusher potential. Mm-hmm. But I think Sweat's got a better anchor, even though Burns holds his own in the run game. But he is a little bit more slight. Burns is definitely in consideration here. And then there's a really unsexy pick here that we would love, that everybody else on the face of the earth as a Dolphins fan will say it's like reach city and not sexy at all. But I love him. So I'm going to do it. Let's go unsexy now so we can get hopefully maybe sexier in the future and then come back to unsexy the night before the draft. Sure. I'm taking Dalton Risner here, and I don't even remotely care.
Oh, man. If more people listen to this show, they'd hate you. But that's a great pick. He had an excellent Senior Bowl week. So.
And like he's had an excellent career down there at K-State. Like, and he's played everything. He's a guy where people again are talking about like, what's his interior capability? Is he a guard or a center at the next level? And we kind of had, I think we had this discussion off air. It was a back end Twitter thing. But like, I think we're going to have the conversation as the draft gets closer. One, it's going to be, is Juwan Taylor the second best or top tackle? But then after that, I don't think Greg Little's ever going to really rise further than maybe top 20, maybe like 25 to like 32 area. But like Dalton Risner gives you the ability, if you need a center, he's going to be a great center. He's a real smart dude. I recently found out doing some research on him that he has a background in sports writing himself. And he also is part of a foundation called Rise Up. That does a lot of good community work too. So he's like a really good dude and a really smart dude on top of it. So you want him to play center? Fine. He'll make all your calls, your protections. He'll be your anchor on the inside. You need a solid right tackle that's going to pass block and, push in the run game. Put him at right tackle. Your left tackle goes down. You know what? We have an emergency guy ready to go. Dalton Risner can do it. And I just think that flexibility on top of an worst case scenario quality career at K-State is going to be everything teams want.
You think he goes before Andre Dillard, just in terms of offensive linemen?
That's a tough one because, I like Andre Dillard. I think he's as pure of a pass blocker as you're going to see. But I don't think he generates anything in the run game because he didn't have to his whole time at Wazoo. Yeah, I mean, do I think he can block well enough in the run game to get the job done? Yeah, but he's not pushing anybody off the line. He's going to lock him up and pray he doesn't get called for a hold. Which isn't wrong. You know, if you can get your hands on him and get him inside, like, people will let you do that day in and day out. So I think at the end of the day, Dalton Risner will go ahead of Dillard simply because he is more versatile and gives you more options. And one thing we've talked about that the Pats look for, and, you know, Brian Flores has even said in part of his pressers and stuff, is that he wants guys that can play multiple and guys that are smart dudes. So Risner checks off every one of those boxes and prepares you to draft a quarterback in 2020.
I'm disappointed you didn't take Daniel Jones, personally. And also, I kind of thought you were going to go Zach Allen at this spot. I thought when you were talking about just totally unsexy, I was like, oh man, he's going to do it.
Yeah, no. As much as I'd love to do Zach Allen here, I think, you know, at the end of the day, we probably love Zach Allen a little bit more than most people in the first place. And I don't know if teams are going to see him as much of a pass rusher as people like to sell him on.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I think there may be a real wild chance that Miami may have even a shot at him in the second round.
Yeah.
As much as that hurts to say, I think he's a guy that we may be real high on. He's not a guy that you'll have 14th on your board and then he'll go in the fifth round and become an all-pro corner or anything. Right. But Zach Allen, there's a chance he's in round two.
All right. You good for tonight? We can, next time we revisit this, we should do like a 3-round or something. So we'll just.
Yeah. I mean, next time we do this, we can even do a Dolphin specific deeper draft.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
You know, people like to see those for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and call for tonight because we've already gone over our usual time. So for Zach, my name is Keith. Thanks for tuning into I Hate the Fins episode 15. We'll be back next week. We'll have more draft talk. That's what it's going to be primarily, mixed in with some free agency. Hopefully that's not much for the Dolphins plans this year. I think I speak for a lot of Miami Dolphins fans when I say that. So like I said, for Zach, my name is Keith. Thanks for tuning in. We'll go ahead and we'll see you next week. Have a great night. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.